This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey and looking at certain ayat inside the Quran, or juz min al ayah, or certain portion of the verse, with intent to repeat these verses or to extract not just tafsir, walakin tadabbur al-ayat, to ponder over these ayat, these verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, that some of these verses were repeated by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or he told, as we mentioned, some of his companions to recite certain verses and stop upon them. And for us, beyond this tadabbur or reflection of these ayat, we're trying to delve into, trying to understand, to rectify the corrupt beliefs that maybe may exist amongst us Muslims. And we paused upon the concept of over-reliance upon pious or righteous people, and even beyond that, thinking that the messengers, wala ra'sihim, the final Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, is going to come and openly intercede for many of us Muslims. And here we're not saying that we reject the concept of his intercession. It's a concept of over-reliance that's trickling through the Muslim ummah at the moment, that they think, just like the Christians, who have this concept, this belief that it's bad what you do inside your life, or whatever you've done inside your life, but if you believe in Jesus, I am the way, I am the light, then you'll be forgiven. And this may sound harsh for many of us Muslims, that's exactly what many of us Muslims think. That if I just believe in the Prophet, I'm automatically going to, by my default position, is I'm going to be forgiven without hardly doing anything inside my life. Amal qalil wa jaza'un kathir aw kabir. Do minute actions in this world and to hope, to aspire to have the maximum reward inside the hereafter. This is what it boils down to. And this is unfortunately a corrupt belief. Because the Quran is replete with ayat inside the Quran speaking about this over-reliance of focusing only upon your own self, not relying upon other individuals. Thus we find that when we concluded from Surah Al-Ma'idah, Isa alayhi salam, he resolved himself from these people. The final page of Surah Al-Ma'idah, he absolved himself, dissolved himself from the people, what they attributed to him and to his mother, and to believe that he is a god. He needs to be worshipped, he needs to be asked. And as we mentioned, that the ayah that we concluded upon last week, we speak about, in tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduk wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka antal azizul hakim. That if you punish them or you forgive them, they're your servants, and if you punish them, you're the Almighty, the All-Wise. And then comes whom? The Prophet alayhi salam, who repeated that verse all night. And then what was his first call? The end of Isa alayhi salam, and then sittamia qurun, that we find on 6 centuries later, we find the Prophet alayhi salam, who opens his da'wah with what? With the rest of the da'wah, the previous prophets, of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, bidayatul ba'tha, the beginning of revelation. That's why ulama said that via this iqra, this kalimat, this word, asbaha nabiyyan, he became a prophet. Then when Allah said to him, ya ayyul muddathir qum fa anzir, asbaha rasulan, he became now a messenger. Then Allah is saying to him, ya ayyul muddathir qum fa anzir, get up and warn the people. Wa rabbaka fa kabbir, warn them about what? The magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa la dhikrullahi akbar, the greatest thing, remembrance is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why when we say Allahu akbar, fi bidayati salah, ma huwa min ma'ani Allahu akbar? What does it mean to say Allahu akbar and enter into the salah? Tashghal bid dunya? Does it mean that you arrange yourself like a file of facts in your mind? I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this and do that. I mean, everything is dropped. Everything in this dunya is left. There's nothing that a person should be thinking about except for ta'zeemullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah mentioned a stage beyond that. وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Go and warn your family members. Go and warn them. Because we find that the mushrikun, the polytheists, the Quraysh at that time, the shirk that they were full of, what the people believed in. And here we should mention the disclaimer, because some Muslims in their passion try to say the Muslims today are far worse than the mushrikeen of the Quraysh. Hada khata. That's injustice to say that about Muslims today. The Muslims today are far worse than the Quraysh at that time. The Quraysh were lost people. Idolaters, polytheists. Walk around in a state of nudity around the Kaaba. 360 gods, idols placed inside the Kaaba. That's who they were. So when people say when Muslims do some elements of shirk, oh, they're worse than the Quraysh. Kalla wa hasha. They're still living. By default, they're still Muslims. Amma how like Quraysh. Alladina kafaru, those who disbelieve, they were destroyed. And then towards the end, those who came and accepted the message of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So the Prophet, when he mentioned this call to his people, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, ishtaru anfusakum, la ugni ankum min Allahi shay'a. Hadith inside Sahihain. He said to the Quraysh, purchase yourself, rescue yourselves now inside this dunya. I cannot rescue you inside an akhirah. Ya bani Abdi Manaf, the tribe of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, save yourselves. I can't rescue you on that day or benefit you in any manner. Then he said, Ya Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, oh my own uncle, La ugni anka min Allahi shay'a. I can't benefit you in any way. Then he said to his own aunt, Ya Safiya, Ammata Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La ugni anki min Allahi shay'a. He said about his own aunt, I can't benefit you at all. Thumma takallama ila bintihi Fatima. Then he said to his own daughter Fatima, Ya Fatima, bint Muhammad, O Fatima, La ugni anki min Allahi shay'a. Sa'alini min ad-dunya ma shi'ti al-an, aw kama qala alayhi sallam. Ask me now whatever you want from this dunya. Ask me whatever you want from this dunya. I can grant it to you. I can give it to you if it's in my ability. But as for al-akhirah, I cannot do anything for you. That's his own daughter, Fatima, radiyallahu anha. As you find that Fatima was so beloved to him. All of his daughters were beloved. But he would wipe the floor for her to come and sit beside him. And that's why when in his final stages, he whispered to her to something. And she began to weep. Then he whispered something again. And she began to laugh and began to rejoice. And sometime later, our mother Aisha asked the question, what is it that the Prophet mentioned to you that first you began to weep and then you began to rejoice? He said, the first person who's going to die after me is going to be you. You're the first person who's going to die. And then you're going to be the one who's going to meet me. So that made her rejoice. That's how much love he had towards Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thus we find that the ayah they want to focus upon, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Inside Surah Al-An'am, the 6th chapter of the Quran, verse 164. No soul will carry the burden of another soul. And to understand the context, the siyaq of this verse is placed inside Surah Al-An'am, the 6th chapter of the Quran, some 165 odd verses, primarily a Makkan surah. كَأَنَّ كُلُّ surah هُوَ surah تَتَحَدِّثْ عَنِ التَّوْحِيدِ. That's why some of the ulama tafaseer call it Surah of Tawheed. As the whole surah, the main theme, the thrust of this surah is only speaking about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the beginning, Alhamdulillah, الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون. Right in the beginning, Allah praises Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has created the night and the day, the human beings has created them. And then these individuals, ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يَعْدِلُونَ, place the ظُلُمَات and the nur. And these disbelieving individuals, يُسْرِفْ عَنْ عِبَادَةَ عَنِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. They don't focus their ibadah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They turn it away to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the five surahs that begins with alhamd, with a praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a quick glimpse at some of the ayat here mentioned speak about al-iman wal-aqidah. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. To Allah belongs the keys of the unseen. No one knows about them except for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, this whole surah speaking about tawheed, to take away this concept that some people are trying to introduce or place inside Islam, that some people know the unseen, or they can decipher the unseen. You know, the Quran isn't a locked book. The Quran doesn't need some form of deciphering the Quran. The Quran is open. The Quraysh understood the Quran. They understood what it means. And even today, most people who know the Arabic language is quite crystal clear. There's only certain ayat inside the Quran that a person needs to go into some deep tafsir or logo to understand it. Even when Umar al-Khattab said, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّا, I don't know what the meaning of ab is. Many ulama ulum al-Quran said he knew very well what it means. Because هذه لغتهم. But when you teach the people not to make excessive tafsir or go delve into such a deep understanding, that's why you find that very rarely that you find the companions asking questions about min ma'ani al-alfaz, asking about words inside the Quran, because they understood the language of the Quran. They had fasaha, they had bayan, they had the concept of understanding the language of the Quran. It's us today, we need to read so many works to begin to try to decipher certain things of the Quran. But the main theme of tawheed is clear inside the Quran. You don't need to be a mufassir to understand what Allah tells us inside the Quran. Allah says crystal clear, وَإِنَّهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهُ إِلَّا هُوَ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. Nobody knows the unseen, or the keys of the unseen belong to only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَنِيفًا. The whole discussion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that I have placed my face, directed my face towards the one and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole page is all speaking about Ibrahim alayhi salam, speaking about his belief. Then Allah mentions, قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُوا مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Towards the end of Surah An'am, you find was speaking about the sins or the muharramat. As some disciples call it the Ten Commandments inside the Quran. It said to the Prophet alayhi salam, call these people. Let me recite to you that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram upon you, forbidden. What's the first thing? Allah tushriku billahi shay'a. You associate no partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, carrying on the ayat, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah mentions inside the Quran, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. This is a straight path and follow this path. Don't follow the other paths that derail you, take you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the tafsir of this verse, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said that the Prophet, he drew a khat in the sand. He drew a line inside the sand. And he drew smaller, short lines. He said at the end of these shorter lines, nothing but the devil that's waiting there. Bi'ayyi ma'na, there's no shortcut to paradise. There's no shortcut to paradise. Wa anna hadha sirati mustaqiman fattabi'uhu. It's a long path, a long, tedious, difficult path to get to the end, to paradise. Follow that path. And then in the end of the surah, Allah mentions, قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَالنُّسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَالنُّسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ. أعمال. أعمال, actions. Allah says that my prayers, say indeed my prayers, my sacrifice, my living and my dying is dedicated to Allah. Actions. Allah doesn't say just give a tacit approval that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Allah exists. I believe in Allah. There's many Muslims. I believe in Allah. That's not sufficient. Because iman billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala goes beyond that. Is a'mal bil jawarih. Is actions of the limbs to show your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-iqrar fi qulubikum, to establish that firmly inside your hearts that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa nutq bil lisan, to utter it with your tongue that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the actions of the limbs to show your obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside this verse that comes following, speaking about wala taziru wa aziratun wizra ukhra. Allah mentions context, kul aghayra Allah abghi rabban wa huwa rabbu kulli shay wa la taksibu kullu nafsin illa 'alayha. Should I seek another Rabb, another Lord besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And He's the Lord of everything. So the Muslim turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything wrong that we do is upon our own selves. وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. We don't attribute evil or something wrong to God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wrongness is from our own self, in our own deficiency, in ta'a, obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَيُنَبِّعُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. No soul carries the sin of another soul, no burden of another soul. Then you're going to return back to your Lord, And then Allah is going to inform you regarding that which you differed regarding. Why did Allah use takhtalifun? When you differ amongst, meaning in this dunya, you're going to differ about certain things. About, is somebody else responsible for my actions? Is somebody going to take my sins? Is somebody going to help me inside my life? Look at the kalimat, look at the wording of the Quran. It doesn't say tu'minun, or tadhakkarun, or ta'qilun. It highlights categorically that which you was takhtalifun, that you differed amongst yourself inside this dunya. And then Allah concludes the surah by mentioning, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعْلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضُكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ. Then Allah closes the surah by mentioning that He's the one who placed you leaders upon the earth, one above the other. Meaning that there's going to be tests and trials, that people who excel more will be given more reward. People who are least behind will stay behind. So Allah gives dominance and power, even in this dunya, for whoever exerts themselves inside this dunya. And that same image is inside al-akhirah. That whoever exerts themselves regarding al-akhirah, Allah will give them a greater reward inside al-akhirah. As to the reason of revelation, this verse that some ulama mentioned, like Imam Qurtubi, Imam al-Baghawi inside his tafsir, that Walid ibn Mughira, كان يقول اتبعوا سبيلي أحملوا أوزاركم. As mentioned by Ibn Abbas. He would go around saying that, follow me and I will carry your burdens, I'll carry your sins. Just like today, some people have audacity to say, you know, just follow me, don't worry. I'll get you into paradise, or you do this, whatever it may be inside your life, I'll carry the burden, I'll take the blame. It's my responsibility. And that's what this individual is trying to go around saying, just follow me, don't worry about what Muhammad is saying, what his people are doing. Just follow me, follow what our clan's people, what we're doing inside our lives. I will carry this burden. But Allah mentioned, وَلَا تَزِرُوا وَعَزِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No soul will carry the burden or the sin of another individual. And that's why there's numerous nadhirul ayat, so many similar ayat inside the Quran which carry the same message. At the end of Surah Luqman, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَخْشَوْا يَوْمًا لَا يَجْزِي وَالِدٌ عَنْ وَلَدِهِ وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ شَيْئًا. Oh mankind, fear that day whereby you come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no father will avail or help his son, and no son will help his father. That's the end of Surah Luqman. Look even how Allah places inside Surah Luqman, which is Surah speaking about a discussion between father and son. Surah concludes by saying a message to the whole of mankind. No one can help any individual on that day. Likewise, Ibn Kathir mentions, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَإِنْ تَدْعُ مُثْقَلَةٌ إِلَى حِمْلِهَا لَا يُحْمَلْ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى. Ibn Kathir says, just like the verse inside the Quran, inside Surah Fatir, that on that day, no one can help another individual. No one will be able to carry the burden of another individual. So even ask another individual, وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى, even ask a close family member to carry your burden, they're not going to be able to do that on that day or benefit you inside this dunya, وَلَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. فَلَا يَخَافُ ظُلْمًا وَلَا هَضْمًا. Inside Surah Taha that we find, Allah mentioned, no person will be oppressed. No person will be wronged on that day. Ibn Kathir mentions, فَلَا يُظْلَمْ بِأَنْ يُحْمَلْ عَلَيْهِ سَيِّئَاتُ غَيْرِهِ. No person will be told to carry the sayyat of another individual. And no individual, وَلَا تَهْدَمْ بِأَنْ يَنْقُصْ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ. And your good deeds won't be taken away from you. Your good deeds won't be passed over to another individual on that day. Also Ibn Kathir mentions, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَ. Every single soul has a pledge for whatever it's earned. And a more easier verse inside the Quran that many of us are familiar with, لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. Every soul will have whatever it does, and upon it will be whatever it does. That's simple. That's the default position inside the Quran. Every soul, whatever it does, it'll be given granted to the soul, to the individual. Anything that is we go against the practice of teachings of the Quran, then that sin and that burden will be placed upon all of us, or as is every single individual accordingly. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Doesn't just occur once inside the Quran, numerous places inside the Quran, Allah places this. As you mentioned at Surah Al-An'am, verse 164, inside Surah Al-Isra, Surah Fatir, Surah Zumar, and then again inside Surah Al-Najm. But in Surah Al-Najm, Allah mentioned, وَأَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. But Allah adds this addition, وَأَلَّا, and indeed, no soul will carry the sin or the burden for another individual. Then Allah concludes the verse of mention, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. Man will only have whatever he strives for. And he'll be shown whatever he strove for inside his dunya. And even each of these five places inside the Quran, if you read the context, all of them can send the same message. That each one of us is responsible for our own selves and our own actions that we carry out inside our lives. That's why Imam Tabari mentioned, وَلَا تَأْثَمْ نَفْسْ آثِمَا بِإِثْمْ نَفْسْ أُخْرَى غَيْرَهَا. No person will be responsible for the sin of another soul. Another person carrying out an evil action, that we should bear that inside our lives. And like what Ibn Kathir mentioned, إِنْ كَانَ خَيْرًا فَخَيْرٌ وَإِنْ كَانَ شَرًا فَشَرٌ. Person does good, then there will be goodness for that individual. Person does something which is wrong, which is bad, it will be upon that individual. So easy. وَلَا يَعْمَلْ أَيْ إِنسَانْ عَمَلًا سَيِّئًا إِلَّا كَانَ إِثْمُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا تَحْمِلْ نَفْسْ آثِمَ إِلَّا نَفْسْ أُخْرَى. نَفْسْ أُخْرَى. Simple terms. Everybody is responsible for their own actions, and no soul will carry the sin or the vice of another individual or be responsible for that. And Imam Qurtubi has a long discussion about responsibility, and he begins to speak about the concept of wakala, of appointing someone to entrust your affairs, your money, your property, whatever it may be. And a long discussion speaks about that the person can do whatever they want if you place them in that trust, based on numerous traditions of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You entrust someone with some money and you leave it with them. They have the right to spend from that money, use from that money, multiply that money, gain more profit, because you've given them that authority. And then they can share that with you accordingly as well. Then at the end of this discussion, it mentions, لَا تُؤْخَدْ نَفْسُ بِذَمْ غَيْرِهَا. Nobody's going to be taken from the sin of another individual. Imam Sa'di inside his tafsir, he mentioned this verse is like the verse, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا. Whoever does righteous actions, that is going to be for that benefit of that individual themselves. Whoever does an evil action, that's going to be only upon their own selves. As for this kalima al-wizr, ulama begin to discuss, what is al-wizr? What does it mean? As Imam Qurtubi inside his tafsir, he mentions, al-wizr bi ma'na al-thiqal, a burden, something which is heavy. That's what Allah mentioned, speaking about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ wizrak. We've lifted this burden off from your chest. And that's when you read inside the seerah that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that twice his blessed chest was split open. And the first time when he was a young boy, the age of 6 or 7, when Jibreel alayhi salam came and split open his chest and took over that rancor, that evil concept inside his heart that could be there of leading him towards something which is wrong, of hatred, of rancor, was plucked out of his heart and his chest was sealed. That's one meaning interpretation that ulama mentioned. وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ wizrak, it's been removed from your chest. And his body was washed with ma'u zamzam. It was placed inside his heart, around his body. But other meaning is the burden of the responsibility of people that before, you're not responsible for them. And likewise, the burden of giving da'wah, preaching to the people, we're going to make it something not burdensome without a doubt, but it's going to be something easy for you of carry on preaching towards the people, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other meaning of al-wizr is al-dhamb, the sins of other individuals. وَهُمْ يَحْمِلُونَ عَوْزَارُهُمْ عَلَىٰ ظُهُورِهِمْ. People will be carrying their sins عَلَىٰ ظُهُورِهِمْ, upon their backs. Then you find that sins have a detrimental effect upon the individual. In a hadith, whoever misses 3 jummas in a row consecutively, Allah seals that person's heart. Seals their heart. It's sealed. Thus we find, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Upon their heart is a ran, is a rust, is a seal. Because what? Because of what they used to earn, what they used to do. So sins deaden the heart, weaken the heart, have a great impact upon the heart. That when we sin, if we don't wash our sins away, we don't wash and cleanse our heart, it begins to accumulate upon the heart and deaden the heart. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah said that most people are dead individuals. They're living, but they're dead. They're living, but they're dead. They're like zombies in today's language, walking around. They're dead people as far as the Sharia is concerned, because their heart isn't alive. Their heart isn't alive in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like with many of us, that we think nothing of sins. That's why the believer is the one, when he sins, sees it like a mountain on top of the head, as mentioned by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He sees it like a mountain on top of his head. أَمَّا المنافق, the hypocrite just sees it like a fly at the tip of their nose, just brushes it aside. That's not how we should be. We should be worried about our sins because they become detrimental upon our own heart and our body as well as the wider society around us. And that's why likewise you find other ayat that ulama mentioned about carrying these sins of ourselves upon ourselves. And there is an exception at times whereby people are responsible for other people's sins, or they can be. As Imam Qurtubi mentioned, other ulama begin to discuss what is the exception. We find in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, as mentioned by our mother Zainab bin Jahsh, she posed this question to the Prophet ﷺ, أَنُهْلِكُوا وَفِينَ الصَّالِحُونَ. Are we going to be destroyed as righteous people amongst us? Are we going to be destroyed if these righteous people happen to be there? What was the response of the Prophet ﷺ? قَالَ نَعَمْ إِذَا كَثْرَ الْخَبَثْ بِالْفَتْحَ. He said, yes, if al-khabath, al-khabath, min ma'ani al-khabath huwa al-zina. إِذَا كَثْرَ, lewd, promiscuity, adultery, fornication, sexual misconduct. إِذَا كَثْرَ becomes common inside society, everybody will be destroyed. وَلَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمْ صَالِحُونَ. Even happens with righteous people amongst them. So we should be worried about sins inside society, that they will have an impact upon us. And our other mother, she mentioned, Salama mentioned, speaking about the last days, in the khas, when the earthquakes will come. She posed this question, that there's going to be righteous people once again there, so everybody's going to be destroyed inside this earthquake, the shaking of this earth. So what did the Prophet ﷺ mention? يُبْعَثُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى نِيَّتِهِ. Every person is going to be resurrected in their judgment according to their intention. So we might be a few righteous people in the masjid today. Or we might be a few righteous people in the world today, a few Muslims that we have. But in comparison to the rest of the world, that's what we find that sometimes when zalazil, when earthquakes come, calamities they come, it doesn't make this distinction that this person doesn't need to be punished. Rarely, it has happened at times that some people have not been punished, they've been saved. But it contains everybody. And that person will be resurrected upon their own intention. Allah knows what the intention of the person is. So everybody will be destroyed of the sins of some people. But those individuals will be exempted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of their intention. Another exception whereby a person will carry the sins of another individual, as Imam Qurtubi discusses inside his tafsir, and likewise Imam Sa'di Tashir Ilayhi as well inside his tafsir as well, is imaman yad'u ila dalala. An imam who calls people towards misguidance. And here we should make a clear disclaimer that if somebody has an element of a bid'ah, an innovation, ليس بمعنى أنه إماما للضلالة. That doesn't mean that person is an imam calling towards misguidance, that as many of the youth that they think. Person's got an innovation, and even an innovation in honesty at sometimes, بعض هذه الأحاديث قد يكون يصحح عندهم. Some of these ahadith that we may seem to be weak in nature, not authentic, they see them as being authentic. So they have an assess of doing something inside their lives. So we shouldn't become over emotional. Because many of us have just seen Islam from one lens, from one teacher, one concept, one mindset. We haven't seen it from another view to understand why does a person practice something differently, or why do they do it, what's the basis of it. If it's totally flawed, then that's something else. But it's based upon some hadith, muhtamal, it's plausible to take place, that we may see that as something which is incorrect. But it doesn't mean we begin to label a person, an imam, that who was sahib dalala, he's a person of misguidance. The misguidance has to be totally clear, what they're calling towards people towards. Corruption inside aqa'id, inside belief. And as we began with, this over-reliance upon the pious and the righteous people we touched upon. وَتُبِعَ عَلَيْهَا فَإِنَّهُ يُحْمَلْ وِزْرِ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهِ مَنْ أَضَلَّهُ. This individual carried this, whoever follows this individual will carry the sins of those misguided individuals who begin to follow his misguidance. But at the same time, those misguided individuals, there's no blame upon them as such in losing their good deeds. Because they could be just normal individuals, that some of them don't know any better, they begin to fall prey to what these people may be praying or telling these people to come towards. And all this is based upon the teaching of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. مَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً. Whoever introduces a bad sunnah inside this Islam of ours, فَعُمِلَ بِهَا بَعْدَهُ. And this is done after this individual is carried this action out, encourages people to do this. كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِ مِثْلُ وِزْرَ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْ أَوْزَارِهِمْ شَيْءٍ. Whoever follows this individual, he'll have a share of that sin. And the hadith begins with the opposite first, that whoever does man sunnah fil islami sunnatan hasanatan, whoever encourages people to do a good deed in Islam, will have the reward of that. And whoever carries out after that individual, as you find al-awwal man sunnah fil islami al-qatl, you find the killing that took place between the two sons of Adam alayhi salam. As some ulama go through the names of Habil and Qabil, is one view. That Qabil shares the sin of everybody who's killed afterwards. He takes a minute percentage of that killing because he's the first person to introduce killing inside this dunya, inside this world. So he shares a part of that blame. You know, we have enough sins on our plate. We have enough sins in ourselves to start carrying other people's sins. And you know, some of us, the wrong things we've done inside our lives, we should be weeping. We should be weeping that I introduced this person to drugs, to crime, to fornication, to adultery, to music, to haram, to this, to that. It's a list that's endless. It's a list that's endless that we should be sitting there weeping. I have enough sins in my life, and all these people, I led them towards sins who are still sinning today. Then maybe I'm still got a share of that inside my life. That's why there's no barakah inside my life still. That maybe I may have repented, but it's still, that burden is still there. That hundreds of people are still indoctrinated with the haram that I introduced them to. And that's why as Muslims we should be vigilant. We said it many times. We don't have an issue linguistically if a person does haram. We don't have an issue with that. If you do haram inside your life, it's your personal life. But when you become a person who encourages people, calls people towards that, then you should be very, very worried about your life. You should be very worried about your life. You speak over your person, takes drugs, drinks alcohol, whatever they do inside their life, they do it, it's their personal sin. But if you begin to become a person who traffics these substances, sells these substances, and then you make tawbah and you walk away, all those haram people still involved inside it, you still possibly share a sin of that inside your life. It's not something trivial. It's something burdensome upon those individuals. And we shouldn't shy away from the fact some of the biggest drug dealers in our community today are Muslims. It's a fact inside our society. We should be ashamed about it. They should be ashamed about it. They should lower their heads when they walk past. They should feel ashamed about themselves. Not that we should glorify it, that every other young individual wants to be one of these individuals, wants to get rich by this using these drugs and this crime and indoctrinating not just your own Muslim, but the whole of society. We should be ashamed about ourselves and make them feel ashamed. Not think they're something good and turn a blind eye. Even when they approach us as imams, we should make them feel like dirt on the floor. Make them feel like scum on the floor. This is what you instilled inside our society. And I've said it many, many times. Many mothers stand up all night praying that may Allah curse that individual who introduced my son to drugs. All night they pray. You could be praying all night for forgiveness, but that dua of that mother is repelling your dua. That should make you think in your life and think, all these Muslims think, of being dealing in haram, engaging haram, serving haram, making a cliche of something which is plausible inside our society. This is destroying our society and destroying all of us. And we have enough sins we have inside our lives we mentioned. مَنْ دَعَى إِلَى الضَّلَالَ Whoever calls towards misguidance. مَنْ دَلَّ لَخَيْرِ فَلَوْ مِثْلُ أَجْرْ فَاعِلِهِ Whoever calls to goodness will have the reward of whoever comes towards that goodness. So as we began, we shouldn't over rely upon my family members. My mother's performed Hajj. My father's memorized the Quran. My uncle's an imam of the masjid. So-and-so prays inside my family. So-and-so's done this inside my family. That's not the default position of Islam. Then we should remove that from our lives. Yes, if it happens on the Day of Judgment, whoever memorized the Quran will intercede for 70 members of his family. Father will come and intercede for his son if he's been righteous. We believe in all of that, but to become over-reliant as we began with needs to be taken away from us. وَكُلُّمْ آتِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا All of us, just remember this. Every single one of us. وَكُلُّمْ آتِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا Each one of us stand on our own.
inside our grave, outside our grave, and on the day of judgment. Each one of us stand there on our own. That's what we need to remember inside our lives. That when I hit 6 foot deep down inside that grave, what have I done in my life? What did I do in my life to show my belief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then when I'm brought out of the grave, what did I do? And then when I'm standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where am I? Where are these all these sayyat, all these evil deeds coming upon me? Where did they come from? Because of my negligence, in my belief, in my conviction and obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability to stand inside our graves with nur inside our grave. No matter what small we've done inside our life. No one should despair from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِأَنَّ الْخَاطِمَ is the end of the individual that counts, not the beginning. It's your end. And that's why there's so many people that at the end of their life, that they flip of the coin at the end of their life, that they turn and they repent, and Allah wipes out everything. Allah wipes out every single thing. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Allah changes all of their bad deeds into good deeds. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those individuals.